I'm Dave Beck. You're listening to The Beat on KUOW. Though she doesn't come from a long line of musicians, the British concert violinist Tasman Little learned early on what life on the stage is all about through the example of her father, a well-respected actor in England. Though Tasman is most widely known for her critically acclaimed recordings, chamber and orchestral appearances, she's also received praise for her role as a television commentator in a BBC series profiling the English composer Frederick Delius. Violinist, concert, and recording artist Tasman Little is one of the featured players this week at the Seattle Chamber Music Society's Summer Festival at Lakeside School, and she joins us now in the KUOW studios here on The Beat. It's good to meet you.
Thank you.
Thoroughly enjoyed your playing of Brahms, and I know you've done Ravel, and Dohnányi is the piece that you're going to play this evening.
That's right. It's the turn of the Hungarian composer Dohnányi tonight.
Yeah.
And I'm absolutely delighted to be working with Lydia. She's a fantastic player, and in fact, I hadn't met her before. In fact, everybody that I'm working with in the festival here is new to me, although I know there are many, many favourites here who return time and time again. Yeah. But it's really fantastic to meet lots of new musicians. Everybody is wonderful.
Is that important to kind of add that that sort of spice, that variety to your the things that you do during the concert season? So much, you know, recording and playing with the orchestra, to take some time to do chamber music is a...
Yes, absolutely. When I was studying at the Yehudi Menuhin School, so from age 8 to 18, I was in a quartet solidly throughout that time. We rotated every year, so I started out by leading my quartet, then I would be playing second violin for a year, then I'd be doing viola for a year, and then you'd start all over again. And so for 10 solid years, I played chamber music, and then I went to the Guildhall School of Music, and I had my own quartet for a while, but then solo concerts started taking over a little bit, and of course that was what I wanted to do anyway, so something had to give. But I've always done recitals, so I have different pianists that I work with, mm-hmm. and Martin Roscoe, who is the gentleman that I recorded the Dohnányi Sonata with, is one of my regular pianists, and also I work with a fabulous Australian pianist called Piers Lane, and John Lenihan, who is a great pianist who does a lot with different soloists, Julian Lloyd Webber and people like that. And then finally, the inimitable Wayne Marshall, who is, he does just about everything apart from make tea. He's a fantastic pianist. He's an amazing organist. He is a conductor and he improvises like nobody I have ever heard before. Huh. And literally, we were doing some concerts recently, and he just says 5 minutes before he's about to go on stage after the interval, which is his traditional spot for doing the improvisations, he just says, what shall I play today? And we were having this joke about ring tunes on the telephone, and his of course there's the famous Nokia one, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So I said, well, why don't you do something on that? And blow me down he did. And the whole audience loved it.
I guess, you know, people are always lamenting how we're going to learn about classical music and ringtones. Fortunately or unfortunately, one of the ways it's getting out there.
Well, that's right. There's no keeping a good person down.
That's right. Yeah, you don't. It's very embarrassing when you hear that Brahms Hungarian dance at a chamber music, and it comes through on a cell phone. The stuff on stage is much better. Tell me a little bit about this Dohnányi. We're listening to you play this piece called Ruralia
Hungarica, yes,
which is 1914, and it has some gypsy soul in it.
Absolutely, yes. Well, I mean, obviously, being a Hungarian, that was gonna come to the surface at some stage. The Ruralia Hungarica are a trio of pieces in traditional format of fast, slow, fast, and the one that we're going to listen to a little bit of is the second one, the Andante, and it's a stunning piece. It has all these beautiful rolling chords and harmonies from the piano, and it's very traditional melodic line in the violin, so unlike the violin sonata, which has got a lot of double stopping and things, this is much, much more traditional in terms of the violin being literally a singing part of the ensemble.
Thank you.
you've been associated with some tremendous instruments. What's the instrument? Well, this recording was made a few years back, so I'm not sure if it's the Strad that you're playing.
No, on this recording, and in fact, this is also the instrument that I have with me in Seattle. Mm-hmm. It's my 1757 Guadagnini, which is a fantastic instrument. It really, really comes into its own in chamber music. And unlike the Strad, which it's almost impossible to blend your sound with anybody, The Guadagnini is both a solo voice and also a marvellous ensemble voice. So I can blend my sound, as in hopefully I managed to in the Brahms sextet that I did on Friday, and also with the Ravel trio. But then when more soloistic playing needs to be had, as in the Doch Nanni Sonata that I'll be playing tonight, it's very good at projecting a little bit more as well. So it's a very versatile instrument. I love it. Mm-hmm. And it's extraordinary to think that it was actually created the year after Mozart was born.
Is that right?
Is weird, isn't it?
Do you know what kind of history it has or whose hands it's been in?
I don't, actually. The only thing that I know about it was that up until the point in time when I acquired it, it was lonely and sitting on its own in a bank vault in Switzerland. Yeah. So there, I rescued it.
That's not where... I understand why they need to be there for certain periods of time, but that's not where those instruments...
No instrument should be played. Yeah. They really should.
Yeah. Tasmin Little is with us, and she's playing this week at the Seattle Chamber Music Society's Summer Festival at Lakeside School. You can get more information about her appearances and ticket availability at the website, which is linked to kuow.org. I guess in some sense you followed in your father's footsteps with this project you did for the BBC a few years ago on Frederick Delius, which is a fascinating composer that you took a great scholarly interest in, and it ended up as a BBC television documentary.
That's right, yes. I mean, that was extraordinary the way that happened, because for about 4 years, a director friend of the family, Michael Darlow, had been very interested in the thesis that I wrote while I was a student at the Guildhall School of Music, which basically put forward the theory. And it wasn't the entire thesis devoted to this, because in fact the whole thesis was about Delius from a performer's point of view. But within the thesis, I put forward this theory that Delius had a huge love affair when he spent 2 years in Florida, and that the love of his life at that point was an African-American girl who worked on the plantation called Chloe. Mm-hmm. And of course, this did set a few eyebrows raised, because a lot of people were quite shocked at the thought, first of all, that you know, this nice white gentleman English composer might have any sexual feelings inside him, because of course composers never do.
No, of course not.
and also that it might have been with a lady with from African American origin.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think I encountered quite a lot of opposition to making this program, which ended up being very, very interesting, because mm-hmm. I suppose it was just finding out exactly what inhibitions people have about the way people consider composers and what they want out of their composer. They don't really want them necessarily to be a human being. They just want them to produce all this incredible music from nowhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, I believe that the when he left and then found out that she had had his baby, and he went to try and find her, but she ran away thinking that he wanted to take the baby away, and he never saw her again. And I think that this had a massive impact on him, and his style of music changes very markedly at this point. So I think that it's all there in the music.
Yeah. And he's always such a fascinating, just because the time that he spent in Florida on this orange plantation.
Absolutely.
And it's just, he was very captivated by that.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, if you can imagine him coming from a very repressed background in Bradford, with two German parents that only wanted him to go into the woolen business. Mm. And he was always being sent off on these sort of expeditions to go and sell wool to various people abroad. You know, he was really desperate to escape. And he'd had a great classical upbringing in music, and he loved music. But then to hear something so different, such as the old slave songs and the marvellous rich harmonies of the African-American population there, I think it really just inspired him hugely. Mm.
And our guest has been the violinist, concert and recording artist, and musical commentator at times, Tasmin Little, one of the artists featured this week at the Seattle Chamber Music Society's Summer Festival at Lakeside School. Information about her career and many recordings on her website. You'll find a link at the Beat homepage at kuow.org. I also have a link there to the Seattle Chamber Music Society site. They have the Overlake
series of concerts, the new series out in Redmond, beginning on August 3rd and running through the 12th. Tasman, so great to meet you and to hear you play this week, and thank you very much for visiting with us.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
This is The Beat on KUOW.